Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to worship. Special welcome to all our Vacation Bible School families. We had a wonderful week. We thank our camp. Redeemer is a summer camp every year. We thank our camp for hosting coffee hour today. There are open spots for Redeemer Summer Camp, grades 3 through 6, but those spots are filling up fast, so if you're interested, check that out. Also, October 18th, I know this is really early, but our Redeemer Social is usually an Oktoberfest, but this year we're going to do a hoedown. So keep that in mind. We'd love to have you there. Also, our grief support group met for the second time today at 9 o'clock. Dr. Knight conducted it today, and so don't forget next week if you want to go to a grief group, that's at 9 o'clock in our great room. Women's book group meets this Tuesday. And don't forget, Monday nights we have worship at 7:30. If you're out of town, a short service, about a half hour long. And during the summer, we have a light dinner starting at 7 o'clock. So we'd love to have you. Also take note, we've been putting our upcoming sermon schedule in the announcements. Next week, Pastor Tyler is going to be talking about the Lord's Supper. And then July 7th, we're going to talk about our nation's history, where God was involved, how does Washington pay tribute to God, and some Lutherans who were very involved in the formation of this country. So that'll be July 7th. We rise for our opening song.
Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord forever, His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
He is the Lord.
He is the Lord. Forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, You have established a stronghold against Your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have set in place, what is mankind that You are mindful of them, human beings that You care? You made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name on all the earth.
Yeah.
Me tell you, oh my friends, about this joy I'm living in. Let me take the mic, don't wanna testify how I was dead and then I came to life. No more living in the dark of night. Now everything's alright. I've been changed.
Children's message now. Thank you so much for that, those songs. It was such a good week at VBS. We got a few more coming up. Good morning. Good morning. Do you see what I have here? You know, VBS was so much fun. And we had a theater every day, and Gia Scheit does such a great job. And I think her mom and dad, Mr. and Mrs. Scheit, helped quite a bit. But they made us this. What do you think this represents? The Ark of the Covenant. Good. So long ago, God had his people build a box that was called the Ark of the Covenant. And it was over 3 feet long, over 2 feet wide, stood about this tall, and it had gold poles that went through it, and the priest would carry it that way. Nobody could touch it. And then on top, instead of horses, it had two angels with wings spread out. And then here, this was called the mercy seat. So when this was in the temple and they would make an animal sacrifice, they would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Now, do you know what was in the Ark of the Covenant? Great, some manna from the wilderness journey, Aaron's staff, and the Ten Commandments. And that was very special to the people of God. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was lost over 3,000 years ago. You ever see the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? It's all about the Ark of the Covenant, trying to find the Ark. We don't know where it is. It might be destroyed. But it played an important role early on with the people of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the Ark of the Covenant and God taking care of his people. Remember, God led his people out of Egypt. He sent a bunch of plagues to Egypt and Pharaoh, and one of them was frogs. So that's what you're getting today in Sunday school, rubber frog, okay? And remember how God led his people out. And the word frog, remember, means it's to remind us fully rely on God. Frog. Okay, thanks for coming up. You can go to Sunday school now.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where they stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10 and 13 through 16. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Here ends the epistle reading.
Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here ends the Holy Gospel.
I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled. And the whole earth is filled with his glory.
Oh, I see the Lord
seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory.
Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So there was this man who always had an issue with remembering things, and he saw an old friend, Jim, and he said, "Jim, you know, I always had that issue with remembering things, and, you know, I have to tell you, I went to a seminar, and it just changed me. The seminar taught us how to associate things with other things, and that calls things to mind." And Jim said, "Wow, that sounds like a great seminar. What was the name of the seminar?" And he said, "I don't remember the name of the seminar, but let me ask my wife." I mean, she was with me, and then turned back to Jim and said, "By the way, what is that flower with the long stem and thorns on it?" He said, "A rose." "Hey, Rose, what was the name of that seminar?" It's important to remember. This past week, Vacation Bible School was fantastic. Redeemer so blessed. 310 young people coming every day. We had over 100 teen volunteers. They have gone through the ministry program. Now they are the ministers of the program. Over 50 adults. We had great directors. Nicole did a wonderful job overseeing the whole project. And this year we raised funds for buying goats and chickens. And we raised over $4,400 to help people in third world countries. So that is fantastic. The whole week was about the children of Israel. It was the theme of how they left Egypt and went to the promised land. Every day we talked about how God is good. One day we talked about how God is good when life is good. The next day, God is good when life changes. The next day, God is good when life is scary. God is good when life is unfair. The whole theme dealt with God is always good. The final session was on how the children of Israel got to the promised land finally. And that's what we're talking about today. We heard our Old Testament lesson. Now, what happened just before this? Joshua was the right-hand man to Moses. He served Moses. He helped Moses. Moses recently dies. In fact, 9 days before this event, Moses dies. Now imagine Joshua thrown into this position of leadership. Moses is gone. Is he capable of leading the people? Will they listen? Will they honor him and respect him? Imagine how afraid he is. Listen to what God says to him. In Joshua chapter 1, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong, very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Joshua is thrust into this position of leadership. God goes to encourage him. God knows how weak we are. Did you notice how many times in that short portion of Scripture God said, "Be strong and courageous"? 3 times. And he was even forceful with it. How many times in our life, when we're thrust into a situation, maybe of leadership or an unknown door that we have to enter and we're not sure, how many times we become fearful? God was building Joshua up. You know, many of our confirmands choose those verses as their confirmation verse because it's a great verse to hold on to. Be strong and courageous. You know, how many times we have to take those words of God and apply it to our life? Be strong and courageous when we go into the unknown, when we're laid into a position where we have to lead others. We have to be strong and courageous. God was building him up to prepare him. So what happens now? They've been in the wilderness 40 years. Now, we know why they've been in the wilderness 40 years. It wasn't Egypt was that far away from the promised land. It didn't take 40 years to make that journey. It was very short. We know it because a man was leading them by the name of Moses, and he refused to ask directions when he was lost. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years because early on, they were very close to the promised land. They were on the threshold. God was going to give it to them. He sent spies from the people to go spy on the people they were to overtake. And some of the spies came back with a bad report. We're never going to overtake these people. But a few of the spies said, God has promised and we will be victorious. But everybody became so afraid and so fearful that they wouldn't obey God. They were stiff-necked. They failed to trust in him. And God said, fine, you're not going to get the promised land now. Tell you what, this whole generation won't get the promised land. That's why it took 40 years. Everybody who left Egypt had to die before they got into the promised land. Only a few by exception got into the promised land that were there from the beginning of the events. Joshua was one of them, Caleb and a couple other people. They were faithful while everybody else doubted and questioned. Now it's time. In fact, it's almost 40 years to the date of when they left Egypt. You remember the last plague? We call it Passover. Sacrifice the lamb, put the blood on the door, the angel of death will pass over. Crossing the Jordan is 4 days away from that event. God wants them to celebrate the Passover. They haven't celebrated it for 40 years. He wants them to celebrate it now in the promised land. The only thing that stands between them and the promised land is the River Jordan. This is springtime. The river is at its strength. It overflows in the spring. Now they could wait for another season, but God wants them in the promised land. It's ironic, God bookends their journey with the parting of water. First the Red Sea, and the Red Sea would swallow Pharaoh's army, and now the Jordan River. We don't know how wide God opened it, but we know the length they had to travel was from anywhere from a mile to 2 miles. That's how wide the Jordan was. We estimate about 3 million people. Can you imagine how long that would take to transport all those people across that space? God told Joshua, tell the priest, carry the Ark of the Covenant, which weighed over 600 pounds probably, to carry the Ark of the Covenant into the water. Can you imagine as they stepped into the water, they had to have faith and trust God was going to do what he promised. And the water stopped. And they stood in the midst of the water, and the people crossed. Once they crossed, God said, get a man from each tribe. There were 12 tribes. Get a rock from that riverbed. Get a rock and take it with you. Now, Joshua was not told to do this, but we're told he builds a memorial in the water on the dry riverbed of 12 rocks. Now, of course, the water is going to cover this up. We're not sure why he built it. Did he build it as a reminder to God of what he did? There were probably certain times in the season, especially during drought, that those rocks would be exposed. Could you imagine a site that you could show your children or their children? That's where they crossed. That's where the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the water stopped. So they take these rocks, 12 of them, and they go to Gilgal, which means the Lord has removed your shame, basically. And they stack these rocks. This represents a new beginning for the Jews. They leave behind their stubbornness. They leave behind their questions of God. They leave behind their weak faith. They leave it in the wilderness. This is a new beginning. And they stack these stones, 12 of them, so that everybody may see them. In fact, the Hebrew word for memorial means to remember. The purpose of this memorial was for people to remember. And God told Joshua, when your children ask, you tell them what these stones represent. Pass it on to the next generation. You know, for the Jews, these stones became a symbol in the time of crisis or trial that, yeah, God was with us, and he's still with us, and he's still in charge, and he's still in control. He's not against us. He's for us. You know, today when you leave, you're going to get a smooth river stone, just like those stones. It was evidence that they were in the water. They were all smooth because of the water. You're going to get a stone. What kind of memorial would you make? I mean, we have our memorials already. Oh, in our memories, the photo albums, maybe in a journal where you write things. Those are little memorials. Where would you put a stone? Would you put it by a picture of a loved one? You know, we take for granted the people in our lives every day. We just don't think about them not being there. We just assume they're going to be there forever. And then when we lose that person, we realize what we've lost and what a blessing that person was and a benefit to us. You know, maybe putting that stone by a picture of a dearly departed loved one to remind yourself of how God gave you a great gift and God took care of you through that gift. Maybe to even take it to the cemetery and put it on the tombstone, a practice of the Jews to show that somebody came to visit, but also a memorial for us in love and honor of that person. Maybe take it to a location or place where God did something for you. You know, we forget those special times when God answers our prayer. We forget shortly. We forget too soon of what he did. We forget about how God supplies our needs in so many ways. It was a great event, but we forget. We go on with life. We need these memorials to go back to. So when we are in crisis, when we are in struggle, we can go back and say, yes, God was with me then, and he's with me today, and he is still at work, and he loves me today and tomorrow and the next day. He never changes, and he's going to watch over me. Those memorials are important. You know, coming to that great memorial, the cross, that is the memorial that towers over each and every one of us. What that represents, not our doing, but God's doing. Going to the promised land is just, it's an earthly story that really tells us a story about our journey to the promised land, heaven. We're on a journey to the promised land. Notice Moses doesn't enter. What do you think Moses represents? He represents the law, the commandments. You can never get to heaven. You can never get to the promised land by the commandments because you have not lived up to God's expectations. You're just not going to get there. Joshua becomes a symbol of Christ, an Old Testament Messiah type. It is through his leadership the promised land is accomplished. It is the same with Jesus. When you come to his cross, he has taken care of everything for you. He paid the price for your sins. And you may be here today saying, how can God still love me after I've stumbled and fallen so many times? After how many times that particular pet sin continues to overtake me and has such strength? How can God still love me? How can God still want me? Well, the good news is it doesn't depend on you following the law. And God still wants you, and God still loves you. The evidence of that is found on the cross, that he would sacrifice his only son for unworthy, sinful people like us. He sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You know, that Jordan River becomes a symbol to eternity. You ever notice everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there? Lutheran hymns rarely sing about the beauty and joy of heaven. The Baptists, they do. They're good at that. And they'll sing about the joy and happiness of heaven. And you'll notice in some of their hymns, they equate death to crossing the Jordan. It's our journey to the promised land. God has taken care of all things. Abraham was promised this promised land 400 years before they crossed the Jordan. But did you hear what our epistle said about Abraham? He looked forward to a city whose builder and architect was God. Who do you think Jesus, what he's talking about? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back, take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. The promised land is that perfect place. We mourn and grieve for the people we've lost, but if they're in the promised land, we should envy them. They have the joy of eternity, the happiness of all things. We're still on our journey. And our journey is long. And for some of us, our journey's far. How important it is to build those memorials on our journey, to remember our God is good all the time. Lamentations 3, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Our God is good to us. And sometimes we have to go back to those memorials, those stones of remembrance, to be reminded. He is in control and he is good. You know, I thought about it this week, all the young people in this building for a whole week. We're told in our Old Testament lesson the importance of passing it to the next generation, to children and their children. How important it is, those ministries of Redeemer, over 300 people in VBS, young kids. And then Friday night, Laura McDonald had a lock-in for the junior youth. There was over 35 young people here overnight. Passing on to the next generation. Christianity is always one generation from extinction. One generation. And when I think about Redeemer, I think of those who built this pile of rock, this pile of brick. We call it a sacred space. We call it Redeemer, but it was a memorial to who they believed in and to the trust and faith and confidence they had in their God and the importance of telling those who would follow the next generation. And as we have voted on phase two, actually tearing down these stones and erecting more and making it bigger, it's a memorial, a testament to what we believe and what we hope for and what we put as a priority, getting people to the glory of heaven, our children and their children and all who follow. 1 Peter 2:5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. You're a stone, a living stone. With a voice, proclaim that message of those memorials of God in your life. Look back to them, find strength, find courage, find purpose, and find your testimony. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise for the offertory.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your spirit free. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
As he laid down his life.
willing to pay the price, willing to pay the price. How beautiful the radiant bride who waits for her groom with his light in her eyes. The fruits of pure lives so that others may live. How beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. Sound of good news and the love of the King. How beautiful the hands that serve, the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful, how beautiful. The body of Christ.
Please rise. God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring before you this day all those who rely on you as their rock, especially for the resurrection. We bring before you the family of Joseph, who is mourning his loss. We ask that you would guard and protect him, that they might all look to you for hope. Dear Lord, we pray for all those who face health concerns. Grant them strength and assurance that you care for them in all things as the rock of their salvation. For Barbara Peterson, Mike Doyle, Richard Hagley, Amy Fitch, Matt Zavada, Janice Tobias, Kathleen Simpson, Diane Orvec, Bruce Landino, Armand, David Budd, Betty Moigas, Fred Rohrbach, Joe Cotant, Lydia, Terry Hessen, Alice Fleming, Margot Gray, Janelle Thorne, Jim and Jan Hogan, and Bob Ernawine. And for all those, dear Lord, who care for those who are in need, we ask for their strength as well, that you might give them rest and encouragement by your only comforter, the Holy Spirit. For all Redeemer members who are homebound, we ask for your strength and encouragement, especially Marianne Fitzsimmons. For President Trump and all world leaders, we ask that you would give them wisdom, that they might administer justice in our land. For all those who are serving in the military, police, and firefighters, we ask that you would protect them in their service, that they might protect us and bring them home in safety. For all caregivers, we ask for your thanks. Dear Lord, we give thanks to all those, for all those who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. And we pray, dear Lord, as you have taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound